Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
I was going down, thought it was for the count. Then I found your love. I had wandered off, thought I had gone too far. There I found your love. Fear I used to know can't stop me anymore, 'cause I found your love.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is Family Night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Luke. We are studying the parable of the 10 minas. It's in Luke chapter number 19, verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. It's one of the things Jesus really was good at. He was telling parables. He could tell them a little story, connect it. I think in the old days, they probably learned more from parables and stories than any other method.
Jesus was an amazing teacher, and he used so many different teaching ways of teaching people. He would do stories, he would do question and answer, and these parables were like, they'd be walking along, he'd pick something pretty common to everybody,
yeah.
But then pull in these great spiritual principles that just really made him come alive.
Yeah, it's kind of like Southern preachers sometimes. They have these stories, and they bring you in, and it's just that you remember the story, so you remember the message.
That's it.
So then it says he was nearing Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. That's kind of an amazing when you think about that. They're really believing that the kingdom of God is just going to appear. The clouds are going to change. The sun's going to come out. I mean, it's just they're looking for a literal kingdom.
You know, I think their minds were probably going back to Moses and when the glory of God came and filled the temple. And here's another one, because the Pharisees all talked about Moses and Abraham, but Moses was their guy. Well, here the crowd is following Jesus, who's doing all these miracles and all this stuff. And maybe they were waiting for that kind of experience just to happen, just for the fire by night and the cloud by day and the glory of God to just shake, you know, Jerusalem.
And I think there's a lot of times, even Christians, when we come to church and we're looking for a miracle, we're looking for the kingdom to be applied to our life at that very moment. We want it to appear at once. And that's kind of like where we're at. And we all have troubles and difficulties in our life, and we're looking for answers. And of course, the kingdom of God is an answer.
Yeah.
But the physical kingdom coming, Jesus did say the kingdom is in your heart. So the first place he's coming is bringing the kingdom into the heart of people. And we see those kind of miracles all the time.
You know, it's so true. Obviously, the kingdom had appeared in Bethlehem 33 years ago.
Right.
You know, 30 or so years prior to this event, the kingdom of God entered into humanity, but they didn't see it as such. And so they're anticipating something. They want something. And like you said, so many times we want God to do something in our time, and they were missing out on what was actually happening.
So he's telling a parable. Now he's going to kind of maybe let the people think about the kingdom in a different mindset. So he tells them the story. He says, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. Now, I'm sure he's pointing to himself here. He's pointing to himself. He's going to be the king. And so he's telling the story about this man who left from this place in the country, and he went, and he goes, and he appoints himself king, then he returns. So he called tens of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. So the king comes, and all of a sudden, here he's dishing out rewards or dishing out money and saying, look, use these gifts I'm giving you and use them to better the place that you're living in. And so forth. And so he gives them these wonderful things.
You know, he's giving responsibility to people. He assigns people tasks, and that's exactly what Jesus would soon do that we would find out. And so this is very much kind of a picture of what was going to happen.
So he says let me get this one here where it says verse 13. So he called the 10 servants, gave them 10 minas, put this money to work, he said, until I come back.
Yeah.
So there's the key right there. And that's really what Christ has done in our life. Everybody has gifts.
Yep.
You've been giving ministry gifts. You've been given spiritual gifts. You've been given a wonderful opportunity to bless people, to use these gifts for good works. And he says, now put it to work.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
Put it to work.
But we don't, you know, whenever we're given that task, some follow through. We're going to find out, because I know the end of the story here, you know, but there are so many people that miss out, you know, once again, and then there's so many people that excel and exceed expectations. And so I'm sure Jesus knew in telling this story that was kind of going to be, there's going to be some that obey, there's going to be some that disobey or do their own thing, yeah.
The interesting thing is he calls 10 of his servants. He doesn't just call anybody.
Yeah.
He calls people that want to serve him.
Yeah.
But his subjects hated him, and they sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king.
Yeah.
So most of the people aren't happy about this.
Well, they knew he was coming, right? So I'm trying to apply this and think this through. So, you know, there's some that were waiting for the Messiah. And so when, you know, this could be, I mean, we're trying to draw this parallel here, or at least I am, that the Pharisees hated Jesus.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't want you to be our king. We don't want you to be our Messiah. So
no Trumps.
No, yeah. He's not my king.
He's not my king. No Trumps in this here.
Right.
I don't care if he is the president. He's not my president.
He's not my president. Yeah.
That's what he's saying here. Right. That's exactly what he says.
Yep.
So anyway, the subjects hated him, sent him away, and we don't want him as king. But he was made king, however, and he returned home.
Yeah.
So they had whatever they wanted didn't happen.
Right, right.
So here he's made king, and he's sent home.
Yeah.
And then he sent for the servant whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more minas. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And because you have you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities."
Wow.
That's pretty good. You know, actually just gives him a few dollars and all of a sudden now he's in charge of 10 cities.
If he can trust you with a little, he can trust you with a lot. So, you know, obviously I don't think this is an apples for apples comparison to what we were trying to do here, but he is describing the kingdom of God, that here's kind of going to be the things that happen, and some people are going to get rewarded and some people are not going to get rewarded based on their relationship to the king. It's all about how we relate to the king, and that is the kingdom of God. How do you relate to the king in the kingdom of God?
Yeah, and that's really what the beginning of the parable was about, because all these people were wanting to know when was the appearing of the kingdom, what's going on with the kingdom, you know? They were looking for the kingdom to come, and Jesus was trying to help them to understand the kingdom's working in people's hearts right now, and that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
So the second one came, and he said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." The master said, "You can take charge over 5 cities." And I don't know what we can do with the numbers, because 10 gets 10, 5 gets 5.
Right, yeah.
So there's some kind of a parallel to the gifting that you have. In other words, if you're a 10-talent man, you're going to get 10 rewards. If you're a 5-talent man, you're going to get 5 talents.
Your reward is equal to maybe your gifting or whatever, but it's just as good.
Just as good.
For 10 for 10, for 5 for 5, it's just as good. So you look at it and you say, wow, that's awesome.
But then another servant came and he said, "Sir, here's your mina. I've kept it and laid it away in a piece of cloth in the earth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow." So there's not much faith going on in this man's life. He's not exercising any of his talents at all. He's just burying them.
Yeah, this guy was afraid. He was fearful that if he didn't earn any money, he was going to get whooped. And so he didn't want to get whooped. So he said, "All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this money back." But the guy said, "Go and make some money for me."
Right.
But he didn't even think about doing that. Put it on loan at the bank for
not
interest.
Not even that.
You know, he just, "I'm going to give it back. I would have given him 2 minas. I would have taken a mina out of my pocket. Here's the mina you gave me. Here's the other one. You know, I'm giving you another one."
But there's a little bit of truth to that, because sometimes people get so fearful, like you said, rather than acting in faith and taking a step forward, they're fearful and they just hide whatever they have been given.
Right.
They never use their talents. They simply hide them. And so that's what this servant does. He just simply hides it.
Yeah.
And his master replied, "I'm going to judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. Oh. You knew, did you, that I was a hard man, taking out what I did not put in, reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put this money in deposits, or at least I could have gotten some interest?"
Yeah, I need a little interest.
Something, so, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something that's pretty valid here for all of our lives, because if you really do an evaluation of your life, the enemy will tell you have nothing to give at all. Well, God will tell you, no, you have talents, you have abilities.
Yeah.
Everybody's different, like this parable says. Some people have been given more talent, more ability, but when they use it, they're blessed.
Amen. And everybody has something they can do. And everybody has a spiritual gift. I've taught a class for years on spiritual gifting, and every born-again believer has spiritual gifts that they can use to minister, to glorify God, and to edify others, and to make a difference in the kingdom of God if they will only take the time to recognize it.
Yeah, but it's like this man said. He says, I'm fearful. I'm fearful you are a hard man, so I don't dare do anything. Mm. And that certainly is not what Jesus is looking for.
No.
He's looking for us to exercise faith. And so, like, some of you have joined us for our Easter service. We've had probably 20 families or 15 to 20 families. We're so grateful that you came and visited with us. But the truth is, in your spiritual development in your life, it's not the visit to an Easter service that's going to benefit you.
No.
It's what you do with what God has given to you. So you've come in, you've been blessed. You need to find a place to utilize these gifts that we're talking about here. Everyone has them. Pastor Tim mentioned he's taught classes on people with these gifts. And we see them when they begin to exercise them, what it does for their life and their children. It's just amazing development that takes place through the spiritual gifts that God has given to you rather than hiding them.
And it's like you have said for years over and over again, Pastor, is to grow your faith and to break the chains of fear. We need to be around people of faith and allow ourselves to be in that atmosphere of faith. So coming to church on Sunday regularly, not just once a year, but 52 weeks out of the year, you surround yourself with people of faith. It builds your faith up, and then you can start doing things for the kingdom of God, and your life can be changed, and it changes other people's lives, and it's a wonderful multiplication effect. It's amazing when people find their place and start, you know, taking five minas and making five more minas and 10 minas. It's beautiful.
It's common sense, actually, because if you have been given something and you don't use it, then you have abused the person who gave it to you.
Exactly.
Really, you have no trust in him. So here, the master's giving these gifts out, and this one doesn't use the gift. And so he says to the people that are around him, he says, then he said to those standing by, take this one man's mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.
Wow.
So, I mean, the reality is that God has believed in you. He's trusted you. He's given you a gift. You may not like the gift. It may only be one and not 10.
Yep.
But if you use that gift, you'll be blessed. If you hide it, then this is what happens. It's taken from
you. It's taken from
you. And he says he gives it to one who has 10.
Yeah.
And they said, sir, that man already has 10. What is it about a busy man? Find a busy man, and he'll do the job.
And he'll do the job.
So he takes this talent that this one man had and didn't use it. He gives it to somebody who has 10 because he knows that man's going to use it.
And he'll make 11 minas next time.
He'll make 11.
He's got 11 now, so he can make 11.
Because here's an interesting part of the parable, what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, everyone who has more will be given.
Everyone who has More will be given.
Oh, thank you. Let's
read
that a little better.
There, yeah.
Everyone who has more will be given. So if you've got some, you're going to be given more.
You're going to be given more. If you use what you have, it's going to multiply.
There it is. That's the key.
If you use what you have, it's going to be multiplied. But as for the one who has nothing.
Taken away.
Even what he doesn't have anything, but even that's going to be taken away.
You know, that's pretty, that's a sad notation of life, isn't it?
It really is. But there are so many people, and you see it in funerals more often than not, that the people who have been generous spiritually and relationally, they are surrounded by people and they have so much, probably that they didn't even realize when they were here on earth, but they gave and gave and gave. But the ones who have been self-centered, cold, you know, fearful, they wind up with their life with nothing. And they had nothing in life. And they have nothing at the end of their life because they weren't willing to grow and share and act in faith.
And the challenge for me is Jesus is talking to servants.
Yeah.
He's not talking to everybody here.
No.
He's talking to those who he calls servants.
Yeah.
And he makes this rationale of life that if you will use the gifts I've given to you, I will not only bless you, I will bless you abundantly.
Yeah.
I will give you such a blessing you cannot even contain it. But then he goes on at the end, those enemies of mine who didn't want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.
Mm.
Now, that's certainly judgment day. That's judgment day talk right there.
You know, we don't like to, you know, think about that.
No.
And obviously, like I said before, we can't make a you know, apples to apples comparison here, but there are some certain truths that are found in Scripture. Number one, there is grace, there is love. You know, God is grace, God is love and mercy, and we see all of that here. If you know, he shows incredible love and grace to the ones who he gave these minas to and who made more. But then he shows judgment to ones that did not, and judgment to ones who rejected him. He will show judgment. And that's a part of God. God is just, and there will be justice and judgment one day, and we need to be prepared for that.
The hardest part of this, I think, for a lot of people is that people don't want God to be king over them.
Yeah.
And we see that happening everywhere. They want to take God out of every position, out of every statement. They want to take God out of every classroom. They want to take God out of everything because they don't want to be ruled over by a king who's God. And so they said, take God out of everything. But here, God says, those that don't want me to be king, those are the ones that are going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
There's something about kingship. There's something about the Lord Creator who's created everything, and you and I understanding that we owe everything to him and bowing down to him.
Yeah.
And that submission brings life. because if you try to gain your own life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you'll gain it for his sake.
Yeah.
So, but this is a tough saying, because if you don't want him to be king over your life, it says that you're going to end up in front of him and being killed.
There's one day you're either going to stand before him, okay? And another way to interpret this scripture is to make sure you use scripture to interpret this scripture.
Right.
Because one day we will stand before God and give an account for the gifts that he has given to us. We call that the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And we will hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Or we may hear, "You just made it in by the skin of your teeth."
Mm.
You know, I mean, the guy with the one mina, it was taken from him, but it doesn't say what actually happened to him at the end. But then there are other people that are going to stand before God, and it's a great white throne judgment, different purpose. It's judgment. The first one is rewards. You know, the Bema Seat talks about the rewards that Christian gets, but the great white throne judgment is for all of those who said, "We don't want you to be king of our life. We will not be your servants. We will not proclaim you as Lord," and you will stand before God and you will face his judgment.
Yeah. So here we have actually almost the story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to save mankind, and he comes and he redeems people, mm-hmm. gives them the gifts of ministry, gifts of life, gives them an understanding of who they are in Christ Jesus, and then asks them to continue the mission, to accomplish what he started, and to be on the team yeah. that preaches the good news and to share this wonderful gift of salvation to the world. And he says, those that do it, you're going to be blessed. If you do it 10 times, you'll be blessed 10 times.
Right.
You're going to have more to do than you ever could imagine.
Right.
And he says, I'm coming and I'm going to give these gifts to you. Then I'm going to go away and I'm yeah. going to come back.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, he's going to see how you did with those gifts.
Right.
And he says, if you've done well, you're going to do well. If you haven't, it's not going to go so well with
yeah.
you. So it's really the story like of the gospel here in the story of the talents.
And I'm sure they looked at it and they're wanting this kingdom of God to be set up and the king to rule, and it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen like they like it.
They heard this parable and I mean, they're looking at, like you and I are looking at each other like, boy, this is a hard one to understand and grasp. But
yeah. Well, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed want you to know that your talents and gifts are given by God and you need to serve him. You need to use them for the kingdom's sake, because time is short and it's a time for us to rise up and become more like Christ. Pastor Adams, Pastor Reed, God bless you. Have a great day.